Welcome back to the Brian Park Project from NPR News. We are always online at npr.org/Brian Park. The internet does not take any time off, even on a three-day weekend. It's humming and buzzing with the most emailed, the most commented, the most blogged, the most decried stories in the known universe. All we at the Brian Park Project do is bag them, tag them, and call them the most. And I shall start with the mostest story, or I think the third most, on the Denver Post. And the reason I like to get stories from the Denver Post for the most is that it rhymes. Youngest Brady interview, unflattering. The youngest Brady is Cindy Brady. She was doing a spot with a local radio station, and she was a little sick.
Chris got me wasted last night, and I'm so ready to vomit on the microphone.
Well, it didn't. She didn't vomit on the microphone or on the video that they posted online, but I think she lost it a little later. It seemed like she had it together there for a while, but it turned out she was all alone. I have lyrics. You ready? One day when the vodka met her stomach. And wait, where are my lyrics? And she knew that it was much more than a hunch.
Much more than a punch.
Than a punch. That the former child star turned stand-up comic would go on the radio and lose her lunch. She lost her lunch.
She lost her lunch.
Guys.
Right after she left the studio, she lost her lunch. Ian, what do you got?
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I try.
I have a story, a most viewed from the Las Cruces Sun News.
The Crosses?
Yes, indeed. So last Thursday, this guy goes to the cops. He's got a bruise on his face. He's covered in transmission fluid. He tells them, you know, he was kidnapped. They drove him around in his own car. Then they bound and tied him. They threw him in the trunk. And then they abandoned the car with him in the trunk.
Yeah.
Under a bridge near San Miguel,
Mexico.
But it turns out he had been out on the town with three friends, two of them female, and he just woke up under the bridge the next day. He made up the entire story to avoid getting in trouble with his wife, going so far as banging his own head on the side of his car to create the bruise I mentioned and pouring transmission fluid all over himself.
The transmission fluid in the trunk, I don't think it leaks back into the trunk.
I know. I don't know. I mean, maybe he was trying to cover up the smell of whiskey or something.
How did this come to light?
Well, apparently...
Because it seems to be the perfect crime.
Yeah, it does. The investigators to whom he had reported the story apparently saw some inconsistencies in there. They aren't covered here in the Las Cruces Sun News. The transmission fluid may have been a giveaway. He's now facing charges of filing a false kidnapping report, and he may have to pay costs incurred with the investigation.
And perhaps one of the investigators fell over laughing and hurt himself.
I see this will be in next month's Ladies Home Journal. Can this marriage be saved?
Can this hoax be perpetrated? Laura.
Hey, this morning you were talking about George Washington in labor.
Yeah.
And we have a real-life story that's kind of like that. You may remember the famous story of the pregnant man, the transgender guy out in Bend, Oregon. Well, he gave birth. It wasn't today, though. And all the reports I've been able to find link back to a story in People. Now, this was the most emailed at Yahoo News, or one of the most emailed at Yahoo News. But every story references People magazine, which said that the guy Thomas Beattie gave birth on June 29th, and it was a girl. And there's a little video online of
them. Cesarean, I guess.
Well,
would have to
that's,
be, no?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
That's the most important detail, I think.
I thought that Thomas began life as a woman
and
became a man. And my understanding of the story
him.
Was that he kept certain parts
in
order to have the baby. So it's not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily. There's not a lot of hard facts here because they wanted this story to be, you know, safe from the press. But
He didn't want all the attention. That's why he went on Oprah.
Right. Well. He didn't want to disclose any more details, but apparently it's a girl.
Okay. Whoa, the baby is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was just wondering. All right. Here, I got another big story. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Cardiac. Let's see. I think I'll bury the lead a little bit. So Robert P. Farnham was eating at a Applebee's in the mall up there in near Milwaukee somewhere. Mm-hmm. He had a sirloin steak, salad, mashed potatoes, a soda, strawberry smoothie, and a brownie His bill came to $2,266. He has a heart attack. He goes to the hospital. You know, can't worry about paying the bill. The doctor at the hospital is like, you know what? This is like the fourth time you've been in here once you've been presented with the bill pretending to have a heart attack. In fact, on his way to the mall, he got out of paying the cab because he faked a heart attack. And he has faked heart attacks at strip clubs. He has faked heart attacks. He has faked heart attacks at movie theaters.
When he does it, does he go, Elizabeth, I'm coming!
whenever you present the guy with a bill, he has a heart attack. Now, I could understand at Applebee's, they looked down at the brownie and the steak and the mashed potatoes and said, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. And maybe at the strip club, they looked over at Destiny and Aura and said, yeah, that could happen. But in like six cabs in a row, I don't think so. So they're on to you, Robert P. Farnham.
I got
to
say, we should hook him up with my man in New Mexico.
You and your Las Cruces evil genius.
Yeah, how's his transmission
you could be dangerous
fluid.
Together. Trisha.
I have one of the most popular stories at CNN.com, and it's a patriotic story. This is one of the most favorite kinds of stories. You know, somebody went to a flea market, and they bought a picture for $10, and they found something behind the picture. Why do people stick things behind pictures? I don't know. It was a picture of a flower, and behind it was the handwritten manuscript of a song, a patriotic song, and let's play the song. So, you know, that's the song, America, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. It was written in 1831. The lyrics were, I mean, the tune predates it. It was actually God Save the Queen. But Samuel Francis Smith wrote the lyrics to that song in 1831. And a handwriting expert who authenticates historical documents has said it's this guy's handwriting. So we know whoever bought it at the flea market bought it for $10, sold it to this handwriting expert. We don't know how much that person paid for it, but that person says it's worth tens of thousands now.
Interesting. I didn't know the history of My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and I was made to sing it every day in elementary school.
Yes, well, there's a long story to it, and we don't have time for it now, but
that's too bad.
We'll put it on the blog. When you click the link, you'll see this whole story.
Okay, cool. And that is the most. Links to these stories and lots of 4th of July special stuff on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.